Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric and through their Sharing Change program, MTE has contributed over $11 million to local nonprofits supporting meaningful causes here in our community. Learn more at sharingchange.org. It's our first conversation of the brand new year with the Beasley Animal Clinic and Foundation. The executive director, Dawn Roberts, joins me. And boy, 2024 ended with a flourish for you guys. You were busy every day, it seemed like.
Yes, we were. We had a busy year, but that's really good. But yeah, towards the end of the year, we were quite busy. But you know, it's we like to see that, though.
Pull that a little closer over there you there. Okay. Kind of gets wieldy over there. But, 2024, I think you sent Katie in a couple of times just because you were so busy yourself.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I had to, you know, we've had some, you know, staffing issues. So I've had to help in the clinic. And so luckily Katie's great to come and fill in for me. So
that's the thing about being the executive director, but you also have that experience, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Sometimes you get called into the trenches.
Right. Exactly. I don't mind it. It's a nice change every once in a while.
I bet. So, yeah. I bet. Yeah. You know, that's the career path you chose.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's got to be a passion
there. I was telling somebody the other day, it's like nice when your work and your passion unite. So
you've got some interesting statistics about 2024 and how great of a year that was, and you've helped out a lot of people.
So our big thing is we did over 3,000 spay and neuter surgeries, so that was huge. One of our largest years, and 27% of those we were able to either partially or fully subsidize, help them get financial assistance. So, you know, it's just that's due to all of our supporters, our donors, our funders, and everything like that. So, you know, they truly do make an impact for people that really need the extra help. So we gave away over 8,000 pounds of dog and cat food through our distribution partners and at the clinic ourselves. And we saw, I think, like 10,700 patients come through our clinic last year. So it's busier and more people are, you know, struggling and everything like that. So we're glad to be here to help.
And as our community grows.
Absolutely.
So is the demand, I
absolutely.
Guess.
You're right. Yeah. And so that's where it's just, you know, we couldn't do what we do without our community support and our faithful followers and donors and everything. Like I said, 27% of those spay and neuters were, you know, even though we're already affordable, some of them received it for no cost. Mm-hmm.
And the 3,000 surgeries, I guess there's no way to know exactly how long it takes to do that. But I mean, even if it's an hour per surgery, that's 3,000 hours, you know?
Yeah. So it's, and think about the thousands of lives we've saved, you know, so no more litters for all those pets. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And, that is the key. And well, that's why Jesse Beasley did what he did in the beginning.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And it's interesting. It's, 45 years this year, 1980 is when the foundation was organized. So we're excited to be celebrating 45 years of being in the community.
Oh gosh, yeah, you said 1980 and 45 years, but that's true.
Yeah.
The 80s just seemed like yesterday.
Exactly,
you know.
I know.
But definitely not the case. But that is cool, and I'm sure that. I mean, when someone sets out to do something, I don't know that they ever dream that it could be what it is in 45 years.
Right.
I'm sure the Beasleys did not really know what the impact that the clinic and ultimately the foundation would have. But
it certainly
it's
is
a great story.
It really is. And I find it interesting is that it was the grassroots effort of those involved with Beasley that did make spay and neuter mandatory for adoptable animals. So it was great.
There are there other organizations like Beasley and other communities? Yeah. I'm sure there are.
Yeah. Like in Nashville, there's Peck Community Center. There's the Joy Clinic in Lebanon. Shelbyville has one. Middle Tennessee Spay and Neuter Clinic. There's one up in Clarksville. So there's some in East and West Tennessee and things like that. So,
but yeah. You would have to be, for our area at least, one of the oldest, I would think.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because of the vision 45 years ago.
Exactly.
And yeah. The dog and cat food distribution, that's something that I guess was maybe more of a recent foundation work.
Right. It was I believe it started in 2016 as our outreach, where that included giving dog and cat food out and as well as providing vaccinations to senior citizens, the homeless, and things like that. So, and then our newest program, of course, is a couple years old, is the Oliver Pet Assistance Fund, where we help keep pets with their families when they have an urgent vet care with our partnering full service veterinarian.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what started out as, you know, spay and neuter, it turned into wellness and outreach and education and just the whole gamut of, you know, responsible and pet care and keeping pets with their families.
Well, I know that when I start talking about the history of Beasley and all, and you mentioned Oliver Pet Assistance Fund, and it makes me think of Amanda every
Absolutely.
Time, you know, and
yeah.
what, you know, in 2016, seeing a need in the community and stepping right in to help with that, you
Absolutely.
Know, and the clinic and foundation have had some great leadership along the way, yourself included in that. So it's just good to see things continuing to go on and being, you know, having the foundation and a not-for-profit status and that kind of thing. You put together these reports, so I'm sure that you all are still working on what happened in 2024 for everybody.
Yeah, there'll be a full annual impact report that will go out. It'll be on our website, and we'll post it and things like that, kind of showing our true impact to all of our different programs and, you know, what's needed to help fund those. And like I said, we couldn't do what we do without the support of our community partners, our donors, and our funders and things like that, because ultimately, you know, that's where we're able to provide our services.
And you have several events along the way to help do that and just community donations
Absolutely.
From folks
yep.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, Paws and Pearls is your signature event?
Yes. Yes. Our longest and largest fundraising event. And, you know, this year it's exciting because it's our 14th annual, but we're also celebrating our 45th anniversary. So it should be a really good time.
Yeah.
So it's on April 25th at Copper Ridge. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
Wasn't it a fall last year? Or maybe?
No, that's Barks and Bourbon.
That's Barks and Bourbon.
Well,
okay.
In 2023,
yeah.
we had it in the fall because we were just coming back from COVID
yeah.
and all that stuff. So
gotcha.
This will be, I think, this third year, second year, maybe it's
spring.
In the spring.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't time goes by so fast.
Yeah.
So.
it definitely all runs together.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that were spring events became fall events
right.
because of that weirdness that was going
yeah.
on and all that. So
right.
So April, do you have information on the website about
Absolutely.
It just yet?
We do. Yep. We are looking for sponsors, and you know, if any businesses want to have a great experience, want to donate to our silent or live auction. But yeah, everything is on our website and for that fun event. So
you got lots of great people who help put that together
we
too.
We do. We have a great committee. Yes. Yes. So, and I mean, my board is fabulous too. So.
Yeah. So the committee operates outside of the board, but
uh-huh.
I'm sure some board members kind of cross over.
Yep. They're separate volunteers that, you know, give, you know, their time and effort to, I mean, putting on an event like that takes a lot of manpower and effort and, you know, so we're super grateful.
Copper Ridge seems like one of those places that is just fitting for Paws
oh,
and Pearls.
It's a great venue, and they're wonderful people. So
yeah,
yeah, it's great.
See all the animals around; it makes you
absolutely,
feel at home.
Absolutely,
doesn't it?
Absolutely. The horses, yes.
Yeah, the horses. Yeah,
yeah.
I had my picture made with one of those, and yeah. as I turned to take the picture, and the horse tried to nibble the back of my shirt. So
yeah,
that's all fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're talking with Dawn Roberts today, Beasley Animal Clinic and Foundation, here on the show. And check out the website, BeasleyAnimalFoundation.org, for all of the information about Paws and Pearls that we talked about as well. Dawn, wintertime, it seems like we talk about this, but it's always a good reminder for folks. next week's forecast, I mean, we're going to have
cold.
Highs in the low 20s, lows. I mean, there's, I think Monday night or Tuesday night, I can't remember exactly now, but early in the week, we are going to get scarcely close to single digits.
Right. Yeah. And that's no fun. You know, it's no fun for us. And, you know, there's always concerns for your pets, you know, especially if you can bring them in inside, that's the best thing for them because they can get frostbite. They can become hypothermic. And you just need to kind of know the threshold that your dog is able to, you know, withstand. You know, the long haired, thick coated dogs probably can be a little bit more tolerant than your thin, short-haired or your even stocky pets because their bellies are in the snow, so yeah, they can probably get cold pretty easily. So just need to know, and that's why you should just kind of talk with your vet once a year, go for an exam and kind of understand if they have any, you know, health issues. You know, our dogs with arthritis, they're probably feeling the cold just like we do as we get older.
I can only imagine. Yeah. Just like we do.
Right. And if you put a dog, if you put a sweater or a coat, make sure that if it's wet, you need to replace it because just it's going to make the dog colder.
Yeah.
With a wet sweater.
Well, this was the first snow for the newest puppy.
Uh-huh. Mine too.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Oh, really? No. Oh, gosh. Mine loved it. Just wanted to eat it and play with the ice and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. Eventually he came around to that. But at first it was like, you want me to do what in this?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I can't get a sweater on him. He's just like, no, I'm fine. So. Yeah. But
and when you said belly, covered in snow, that's he was so low to the ground. He was at first he was hopping through it, you know, just because am I supposed to walk through this?
Yeah.
But I mean, people get very creative, even putting the booties
you
on.
You can put booties on. Yeah. And I mean, if you're going to take it for a walk, you got to watch out that, you know, you don't know what kind of chemicals are on the sidewalk or roads or anything. You know, I'm sure everyone knows this, but antifreeze is very, very toxic to animals, and some of the de-icers that, you know, is not good for them. So, you know, if you go for a walk and play in the snow or whatever, you should always wash your pet's paws just to make sure that when they're licking it and stuff like that, that, you know, they don't ingest something that is not going to agree with them.
Well, none of mine are like more than 12-13 pounds, and so by the time they go out and take care of their business at standing at the door ready to come in, they're all just like quaking,
right?
You know, so
yeah.
It only takes just a short time.
It really does. Yeah. And like I said, there's, you know, the larger dogs, the ones with the thick coats like huskies, and you know, they're used to the cold weather, but you know, 0 degrees, they're not used to it either,
right?
You know, in this area. So,
well, and that's the thing. I mean, you may have a big dog or a husky or one with a big coat or whatnot, but if they're mainly inside dogs, they may have been bred for that
right. Cold
weather, but they're not used to it.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you just got to, if they start acting weird, weakish, shivering, you just kind of maybe get inside and just call your vet and say, hey, is there something I need to be concerned about? So,
and any animals that are outdoors, got to make sure, I mean, it's going to be well below freezing day and night for 36, 48 hours straight. So you need to make sure that, I mean, their water's going to freeze.
Yeah. Yeah. You always make sure they want to have fresh water. If you have to tie your dog up for some reason, make sure they can reach the water, and you're going to have to change it frequently because they do need fresh water. I don't know if a lot of your listeners know, but Tennessee, talking about outside dogs, they passed a new law last year updating the adequate shelter requirements. So, you know, it's three-sided. They have to be sheltered from the wind and the weather, flooring, you know, good bedding to keep them warm or in cool when they're stuff. So, you know, they've really made sure that these animals have the proper shelter to keep them safe in hot and cold weather.
Yeah, or and also, if you have like a feral cat or something of that nature around your property or whatnot, just someplace away from the elements, even if it's in the garage or
Absolutely. Something,
you know, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there's some good, you know, if you do have a feral cat or a community cat or something, and, you know, you reach out to, there's a lot of rescues, Rutherford County Cat Rescue, they can give you ideas on how to make a feral cat shelter. You know, you put a cooler, you just make a little hole in there, put straw, always use straw. in your dog houses and your animal shelters, because hay will absorb the wetness. Straw is a little warmer and is just better material to have. And yeah, just try to, you know, get them out of the, have a place for them to get out of the elements.
Yeah.
Sometimes for cats, it's under the hood of your car.
That's true.
So when you're getting ready to go outside, make sure you make a lot of noise, bang on the hood and everything like that to make sure, you know, you scare them, because, you know, you start your engine and there's a poor little cat in there trying to get warm.
Yeah.
So
good tips. And always a fun time. Dawn, I appreciate you coming in today.
Well, it's good to see you again. It's
Absolutely.
Been a couple months.
It so. Has been. Yeah. It has yeah. been. Good to see you as well. Dawn Roberts joining us with the Beasley Animal Clinic and Foundation. And we'll have the podcast up shortly so you can check that out on our website.